Listen to this.
Zakawani, the flying winger.
Here's Brad Evans.
It's Steve.
Who is it? It's Brad Evans.
It's not again.
Happy days are here again. Turning with a drive, it's Steve Zakawani. Evans with the left foot. He's an attacking threat, Brad Evans.
This is so weird.
The party has started.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Side by Side. Sounders coming off a good win. Not a great performance, but a really, really good win. A much needed 3 points as they now head into the weekend to face Atlanta United. Old friend of ours, Gonzo Pineda, leading the charge there. Before we look ahead, let's look a little bit back. Sounders won on a Nico Lodero penalty. I think no one's going to argue that it was a penalty. But up to that point, Dallas played an interesting lineup. I was surprised that he went with that. But to me, their game plan worked. They consolidated, they kept the Sounders at bay. You could say up until the penalty for Nico, if it had gone 0-0 at halftime, Dallas' game plan worked perfectly. And you knew they were going to bring on Areola, Ferreira, and I don't know, Pomikal in the 60th minute or so. So how do you view this win, Brad, in terms of like, the Sounders should be happy, but take away the result for now. Just assess the performance first.
Yeah. I don't think they'd be happy with the performance, no.
Yeah.
Not the game where you go and look at and say, oh, it was a dominant night on a Tuesday night at the stadium. I actually was impressed by the crowd for a Tuesday night. I was really surprised. Yeah. So credit to the fans for coming out and still, you know, supporting the guys.
Yeah.
This is, you know, not a do-or-die time, but the Sounders are going to have to start playing good soccer if they want to make a run. Yes, it's good to grind out results. You've had injuries, guys coming in, coming out. You've got JP out, Obed. Yeah. And it's going to take a while for these guys to get into a rhythm and figure out what's the right lineup for us to be successful. And I think dropping Christian back has helped, yes. He was very good in the game. Yeah. And Christian in that spot, you really have to watch him the entire game to realize what he's doing. It's not one of those performances like the past couple months where he's had a goal and two assists or drawn a penalty. And those are the things that pop up on the stat line. You really have to do a deep dive for some of these guys to figure out that it was a good game. But Dallas came in and played a 4-5-1 or 5-3-2, whatever you want to call it. And those are the most difficult games, right? You knew what they were going to do from the beginning when you saw the lineup. And I'm sure Schmetz and his team talk inside the locker room was like, hey, this is how they're going to play. And they're going to come in and play defensive. And those are the toughest games. I don't care if you're playing against Tacoma Defiance. If they come into the stadium sit back,
it's going to be tough.
Doesn't matter who the team is. Yeah. It's very difficult to break down.
Yeah.
And you have to be patient. And the Sounders were patient. And sometimes I think a little bit too patient. I'd like to see them shoot from the top of the box more often. Take chances, right? Make those mistakes. Make sure there's the mistakes don't matter if they're in the attacking half all that much, right? That's why you're there, is to take chances and make mistakes up there, because oftentimes a ball is going to bounce your way or goes out for a corner and you get set pieces. It's that continuous pressure when you're playing against a 4-5-1 that can break teams down.
If you're Schmetz, and I wanted to ask this probably last week as well, with the injuries Raul's had, and we don't know if Raul's gonna, how fit he's going to be even for the weekend, who's ahead for you? Or is it just depends on the opponent with Montero and Bruin? We've seen them both kind of... Schmetz, I don't think Schmetz has figured it out.
Yeah.
He goes game by game, and sometimes like I want Freddie to drop, so Jordan and those guys can run in behind, and then when it's Will, he's more of a target. Which of them has done more to show that I'm the guy behind Raul?
I think right now it's Will. Physical prowess, and especially playing against a 4-5-1. I understand Montero coming in. He's fresh legs. He's hungry. He's at home. But I still think Will is probably ahead of him right now. If I'm on the field and the way that we want to play. But that's a tough one. I don't think either of them has really like
made it
their own. Has one come out and just won every 50-50 duel and scored when they've been asked to. Will's stats are probably, I don't even know what the stats are. What's Will got this year? Three or four goals maybe?
Yeah.
Freddie, two goals maybe, something like that?
Yeah. I'm not Freddie even sure. Freddie has some Champions League goals as well.
Right, Champions League goals. So And that might be where we're lacking a little bit. So do you throw Jordan up top and push Rusnak up a line and throw in Leyva or Atencio?
That was going to be my next question for you, because I know you've had some opinions on Rusnak, and I actually agree with you. I thought he was good on Tuesday. I thought he was a bit more of what himself should be. I just don't know. I mean, we're 23 games into the season. I mean, the season's almost done, really, in terms of games. There's only 11 league games left. Like, we're in the final stretch to me already. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to see the Albert of Salt Lake. Now, the Albert we're seeing, are you happy enough with that? Because you said, you know what, he was, 11 goals, 11 assists or something in Salt Lake, and he's gone down significantly. Yes, his role has changed, but I think Christian has freed him up a little bit. I thought he was very good on Tuesday. But can he still do more? And I say that because he was such a big trade, and he's a top player. So you kind of put more on those guys. And he's been good. Not saying he's not been good, but can he still do more?
Yeah, but you're telling me, Steve, if I took you he's been in the league for 6 or 7 years now.
Yes.
And there's been times where he's had 6 goals, 14 assists, and continuously for years and years. That's why he gets paid what he does. And then now you're saying, are you comfortable playing as a number 6?
Yeah.
No. This guy has been living his whole life scoring goals and providing assists. That's what gives him lifeblood. He can say all day long in an interview, oh yeah, my role has changed. I'm going to play as a number 6, maybe as a number 8 if JP gets healthy. It's an easier role for him. But there is no way that a guy that has scored goals and celebrated in front of, 25,000 fans in Salt Lake and then comes here in front of 35, 40, 50 sometimes.
Yeah.
You're telling me that he's okay with his role just sitting back as a number 6 and celebrating with his teammates? No chance.
Yeah.
I don't care what any manager on this team says, what any other player, what Rusnak says in the press. There is absolutely no way.
Yeah.
You cannot take that out of a player. And I think the Sounders have done that.
Yeah.
I think they've taken that out of Rusnak. And
is it out of necessity? Like, have they had to?
Oh, yeah. It's probably out of necessity. It's injuries. Atencio, Leyva also have had injuries this year. So you need someone consistently in one position, yes. But leave that all aside. There is no way that you can take... There's nothing like scoring a goal.
Yeah.
Nothing in the game. I don't care. You could break up 35 passes in a game and see your teammates score 6 goals. And you could lose a game and score a banger.
Yeah.
The feeling that you lost the game and scored a banger in the locker room.
Yeah.
It fills you with something. Right? And that's soccer, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. You could be the best team player, yes. But there's nothing that compares to scoring 11 goals and providing 11 assists in a season. You could... There's just no way. There's no way. So there's an opportunity to push him forward, and I think that was the game at halftime to say, okay, let's bring on a number 6. Let's push Albert up a line. Jordan would be fine moving to the other side, I think. Put him on the right, because we've heard Rusnak doesn't want to play on the right.
Yeah.
So put him on the left, or push Nico out to the right, and let Rusnak have a run at 10 and see what happens.
I've been surprised. I asked Schmitz, and I don't know if you'll mind me saying this or not, why it's not Christian plus whoever at the 6, Albert at 10, Nico right, Jordan left. Because Nico played there when he first came, and Nico could still run. And saying Nico on the right, he's not going to play on the right. He's going to go where Nico wants to go. But I think it gets more of your players into their best positions. And he told me, no chance. Like, Nico's going to play at the 10. Like, Nico's not going to the right. I don't know what the thinking is behind that. I feel like Nico would do it for the team, but maybe they see him every day in training and he's not going to do it. So that's an interesting one for me. Speaking on the right, we saw Leo Chu get his chance on the right. The jury's still out on him, I think, for many people. The money involved for him is the problem. If Leo Chu came out of college and was finding his way, I think we'll be happy. It's the money that's involved with him. How did he do on the right?
It's just not enough for me. I mean, when I watch him, I think...
There's something there, though. Because he kind of is exciting at times, but maybe no end product yet.
I mean, remember when Miguel Montaño came in?
Yes, I do.
And we said the same exact thing. There's something there.
Yeah.
Right? And you gave him a couple seasons, and you give him some Champions League games, some friendlies, and he produced a couple of times, yes.
Yeah.
He was 19, 18 years old,
yeah.
and he had that flair, and he had that flash, and everyone kept saying, yeah, there's something. But that's why you take chances on these players.
Yeah.
There's something there. And even then, the Sounders said, okay, time to move on. There's been a couple players like that, I think, for the Sounders. And every soccer team has that.
Right.
Right? And you have to make tough decisions sometimes and say, is the upside worth it for us, or do we just eat it and move on? for me, it's not up to standard for what the Sounders need and for where the Sounders are at in their season with 10 games left.
Yeah.
I don't think he can provide enough. I don't think he provide. He just doesn't have the brain yet. In a game like that, though, it's a great game for him to come into and get a start. I don't think that the Sounders have enough on their bench right now to really plug anyone in on the left-hand side that's going to provide any more offensive prowess or excitement. So, yes, the jury is still out. I still think he needs a couple more years to think the game. I think his talent is well.
How old is he? He's 20. Is he mid-20s?
No,
he's way younger than that. Yeah, he's way younger than that.
Okay, so there's time.
Yeah, he's way younger.
I'll check
you out. So there's still time. And the Sounders need to – it's a project where every single day someone needs to be feeding him film and working with him day in, day out on the side.
Yeah.
And it might take another year or two.
Yeah.
And you could reap the rewards of that, right? Yeah. Like sometimes – I mean, you know, sometimes something clicks in a player. And maybe that time is going to be another full preseason and then come in next year when the Sounders are a bit more consistent and not throwing everything into the bag with Champions League. But even so, I still don't see him as a starter anytime soon. Year, two, 3 years, I just don't see it.
No, I agree. 2021, in the Western Conference, the playoff cutoff point was 48. Yeah. That was Salt Lake. Galaxy missed it with 48. LAFC missed it with 45. That was 2021. In 2020, we won't go to because, you know, COVID, different year. In 2019, it was also 48 points. The Sounders sit on 32.
Okay.
So we're looking at about 4 or 5 wins to sort of push yourself up. Win about a little bit less than half your games, maybe a couple of draws here and there. And this should be in. I think that might go to 50 this year because I mean it's super tight and teams are close. In this next 11 games for both of you here, and I'll give my opinion to what would be a record, obviously 11-0, but a realistic one that this team needs the minimum to get into the playoffs. Like, what are we looking
at? I can take you through the teams that they're playing.
That's what I was just looking at is yes, it's very tight, right? With your 3 points out of third place in the West.
It's super tight.
Now the question is, yes, Keely, we can talk about who we play, but who knows who 3 through 10, or even, I mean, Vancouver's still kind of in it with 27 if they can get a couple wins.
San Jose's not out of it, I'm sorry.
Right?
You don't think so with 23?
Yeah, you're not out of it.
They're out of it. They're out of it.
Mathematically.
But, I mean, you figure those 6 teams, like, they're all going to play each other 2 or 3 times, so it's going to get skewed here in the next couple weeks, but I think the Sounders can win 6 to 7 games. I think they can do it. If Raul's healthy, I think that they can do it. There's some tough opponents, yes, but I think that there's I mean, how many home games left?
We have
it 5?
5. Yeah.
5 home games. If you can win 4 or 5 at home, which the Sounders can do, right? The fans are going to show up for 4 for 5 home games.
Yeah.
And then if you can pick up a win or two on the road, that's not.
I'm trying to think where those come. So Atlanta away, LA Galaxy away, Portland away,
Orlando
away,
Vancouver, Kansas City,
Vancouver,
but different Kansas City team.
Different Kansas. I mean, there's winnable. I mean, you can win in Atlanta. Yeah. Galaxy's not.
On paper, in the standings, yes, there are opportunities to pick up points on the road. It's going to be difficult, no doubt.
Yeah,
it's going to be an exciting finish. That's
I feel like, from what we know of the Sounders, they should. I think you're right.
Yeah.
But we just haven't played well this season. It's been a weird season. Like the team, the CCL thing. I think we got to put that to the side. That was a long time ago now. Like you've had enough time to kind of get over that.
Yeah, but it's not the same team as CCL.
True.
The Sounders have been almost in preseason mode for the past 2 months, trying to figure out what is our team, right? What is our team? So injuries abound, and still figuring things out.
No deadline day moves.
Yeah, no moves.
Surprised or not?
I'm a bit surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, but Garth has sat here and talked with us about it's not likely that this team is even in a position to make any moves.
Yeah.
And if they were, I think there's probably a couple guys on the chopping block that they've offered up and
just wasn't taken. Yeah.
So this is where it gets interesting with our roster, right? You would think a team of our stature would have interest from some players that aren't starting. Maybe there's a team like Dallas who's had a lot of young players like a Leo Chu that says, oh, okay, maybe we can mold him into something. Maybe he fits our system a bit more. Let's make a trade, right? Nothing. We've got three high-quality center backs, right? Maybe one of those is trade-worthy. Nothing. We don't know what goes behind closed doors right now with management and what their thoughts are, but I'm a bit surprised. But from previous conversations, it's always been we're just not in a position to make a move.
What was it like for you guys during when you guys were playing in those like transfer times or whatever? Like, were you ever like did you talk about it or did you just like keep it totally out of mind, out of whatever?
I never once even thought about
it. Yeah, I didn't think about it either. Yeah.
Not even one time. I didn't even know when the window was.
I feel like that's a good thing. No. Yeah, you can't played. Think
yeah.
about that.
Yeah, but
otherwise.
You didn't think about the transfer deadline, but for me, I always had in the back of my head like, at any moment you could walk in and get
really
traded.
In the Sounders, this goes back, I'm glad you said that. In those early years, I feel like in my head, if I came in one day and they said we've traded Brad Evans, I would have been shocked. I just couldn't see it. Like for me, it would be impossible to see it. Like 2009 to like 2013, there's no way. There's a few people on our team back then.
Yeah.
For me, that were not going to be traded. Like they're not going to trade.
Yeah, I mean, I remember calling. This was probably 2011, and Pete Vahanis was in LA, and I called him, and I was like, I don't know what's going on here. The Sounders are like making moves, and they're bringing in midfielders, so I was having frank conversations with him. Not that I wanted to go there, but just like, what do I do? Like, what do I? No one's having conversations with me. Do I need to get my name out there and push for something to a team that maybe wants me or doesn't want me? So I think the communication skills here were lacking. And that was never Ziggy's strong suit.
Right.
And Adrian wasn't going to step on Ziggy's toes and have a conversation with players because that wasn't the hierarchy at the time.
Right.
Knowing what I know now, I would have knocked on the door down and been like, what's going on? Either you want yes or no, right? Yeah. And that's the just things you learn along the way. But when you're a young player, 23, 24, you kind of walk in with your tail between your legs most of the time. So, yeah, it's a tough one.
So there's a story I've never shared. I'll share here, not today, one day. So in 2011, it's weird, it's the same year, I was looking for a trade. Looking in 2011. And we went to Bradenton for preseason. Not looking, let me not say that way. I was open to a trade. And there was reasons. I sat for 4 hours in Ziggy's room with Adrian and Ziggy. Right before the season started, talking about that. So that's the only time it ever came up for me until obviously I did leave in 2013 when I knew, I mean, we were going to blow this team up. Like we were like, we had so many characters in that locker room. It's like Adrian told me, look, most of you guys won't be here. That's no problem. Like it was like Eddie Johnson has to go. Shari has to go. Like, we had to just change so many things. It was like, and then they were right because in 2014, the team became incredible and then won the support shield. So I don't think players really... There's some players for sure you think I can always be traded. I don't think Brad was one of those guys. I think we had a few guys in our core back then that it would have been impossible for me to view them being traded. But it happened. We come in sometimes and a guy just comes to work and he's like, you're going to Chicago. I can't imagine. Like, that's so crazy to me. So,
well, remember when Adam Moffat got traded here and then...
What a great guy, by the way.
And, amazing guy, right?
Yeah.
Got traded here. And then his wife was pregnant.
Yeah.
And then he found out the day before she was going into labor, like a scheduled labor, I think, that he was being traded. So he didn't tell her until she had the baby in the hospital.
Insane.
That oh, hey, by the way, welcome to the world, baby. And now we're being traded to Houston. So
you went to Houston.
Pack up
he
your
made
shit
the right
again.
Choice, though.
After,
that was
like,
a great decision.
He was only here for like 3 months.
And he was great.
And I think that there's a new rule after that happened because there was a labor dispute about, hey, this is not acceptable to trade a guy within 3 months. It's quite ridiculous.
Yeah, and he was a good guy too. So
hold on, real fast. I want to talk about kind of players and dangling that carrot in front of them. And I want to talk about Nuhu.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in years past, we had, you know, Ozzy, and they told him, okay, next year, if you're a team MVP and MLS All-Star, we're going to give you a DP contract. And then offseason comes around, we don't have the cap space, but next year, if you're a DP, we're gonna make you this offer, right? And Ozzy was just pissed all the time.
You remember the training?
Yeah, when he broke.
Listen, no, maybe that was the first day of preseason. And Ozzy comes in, we start training. The first drill, possession drill, the ball gets passed to Ozzy, he picks it up, boots it off the field.
Yeah, and just walks off and goes back into the locker.
So you're right.
And but
that's such like a
but
oh, he was pissed.
But He was team MVP for two years in a row and an MLS All-Star.
Yeah, he was like, right? What's going on? Like, come on.
And so my point is, like, are there some players that need to play with a chip on their shoulder to get the best out of them? And is that player for us right now Nuhu? Does the management need to say, hey, here's a little carrot. We're going to pay you $500,000 next year. Is that what motivates him? Or does he need to be, do they need to tell him, hey, we're going to sell you at the end of the year to a League One team in France that's interested, and you can go and have a great career. But is that going to motivate him now, or is he just going to be checked out and try to stay healthy? Like, how do you manage a player like that?
In Nashville, I talked to Nuhu before the game, and you know, I hadn't seen him in a while. We talked, and I know for sure his motivation is the World Cup. That's like
makes sense.
Driving
of course.
Him right now. He was like, Steve, like, list, like, and in Cameroon, I think in the Cameroon squad, I mean, I think he plays, not, he's not absolutely guaranteed to play. I don't think so. No. That's what he said to me. He's like, he still has to work at it. I don't know. Do you think, though, because tied to that, were you, I was one of these guys, like, do you think, so a player's making 60 grand a year, does really well. The team says, okay, we're going to give you 300 grand a year. If something happens where do you kind of now settle and like relax? I saw it with Jovan Jones.
Mm-hmm. When Jovan Jones, yeah, that's the same player.
He was lights out.
Yeah,
making whatever he was making,
70, 80 grand.
Didn't get paid here. Went to Germany, got his money. Then they realized we made a mistake. They brought him back on good money and was never the same.
Never.
And I've seen that with multiple players. And I it's weird. Yes, money can be good. I never thought about it when I played.
No,
I just played. It's like, I'm just trying to be as good as
and
I can be.
And the money
be,
so. Will come because
yeah,
you're
it wasn't
playing.
Like, oh, whew, I've got this amount now, I can relax.
Interesting.
Nuhu, I think that would motivate him, to be honest. If they were like, here are certain metrics, you do this and that, we're going to give you that. Mm-hmm. Knowing Nuhu, I think it would. I mean, Nuhu's like, he was in Tukwila for a long time. He's now like in a downtown apartment. He's like,
right.
He's
working his way up.
Yeah, right? I think it would motivate him.
He's kind of living that like American dream.
Yeah.
Dude, if he scores, he's going to win Mega Millions.
He should have passed to Rui Diaz. I'm sorry.
I know, he should have.
I said on the broadcast, and again, and this is what pissed me off about that. I'm, as much as anyone, want to see Nuhu score. But you got to play
pass
the game.
It,
play
yeah.
the game the right way. Yeah. Like, don't make it about that. You have Raul Rui Diaz with a
right
tap
there.
In.
Well,
it's Raul.
To be fair, Nuhu has no
idea.
He has no idea, but he has no offensive prowess to even understand. I don't think he had any clue that Raul was there.
He just was thinking about the goal.
And I would love to see that in slow motion, because I don't think he ever looked up. The only thing he had was in mind. So maybe if it's Leo Chu there, he's looking, okay, my angle's slowly getting less and less and less and less. Okay, I got to look to pass, right? I don't think that he has that in his like soccer acumen. So Raul's pissed, yes, but also look at the player.
Yeah,
right? It's not what he does. Yeah. So that's an interesting one for me, because I think that's a hot topic for Nuhu, is what motivates him and how do we get the best out of that player? And unfortunately, fortunately, sometimes you have to dangle that carrot in front of a player to get the most out of him.
No, great point.
Real quick, I want to also talk about the Alan Velasco, the number 20.
For Dallas, yes.
I like him a lot.
Great player. He's young too, huh?
Yeah.
And I saw
tiny,
him better this year.
And
good
tiny.
Player, man.
I mean,
good,
like,
good player.
He's good. 20, year, 20 years old,
like
Argentinian. Yeah. And there's something about Argentinians
he's good,
that just fit with MLS.
Yeah. He's a good player.
And when we went down there for preseason the first year, like you could see just like the attitude of the of the soccer player is almost the same as an American, I think.
That's
it's
right.
just extremely hardworking.
Yeah.
And most of the time I think that MLS teams get it right when they can get an Argentinian.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to find an Argentinian at a decent value.
Yeah.
They say he's 5'6", no way.
Yeah, he's 5'5", 125 pounds.
No
he's a good player, man.
He was really good.
And finding someone like that is a young player like that
born
is
in 2002.
Difficult.
Born in 2001?
2002.
We gotta find a player like that.
No, he was really good. Before we switch gears quickly to Atlanta, I wanted to ask you this. Take your Sounders hat off, put on your U.S. men's national team hat on. Jordan Areola, or those two. I was impressed by Real when he came on. Like, he's dangerous. Like, he only had a couple of touches, but I've seen him earlier this year, and he's been lights out for Dallas. Like, he's been unbelievable. And he didn't do much, but I'm saying, so you can always tell sometimes when a player just adds quality, and when he came on, they started to get a bit more dangerous. No bias, nothing like that. And again, they both may be on a plane, but it may come down to one or the other. Who's winning that race right now?
This is a tough one. I mean, I don't know the stats of each player either, but
I think he has 9 goals.
If I'm going to a World Cup and I'm playing like the best of the best, sometimes athleticism wins out over pure footballing IQ. And when I look back at my run, you know, DeAndre was not the best soccer player.
That's right.
Yeah. But he was the fastest player on the pitch. And that won out in a lot of games and saved the U.S. team. And I think if you're looking at a situation for a starter, you're probably looking at Areola if you're going to play tactically.
But if you're bringing someone on.
But if you're bringing someone on, I think it's Jordan, because there is no other player in this league, if used in the right position, with guys that can pick passes like Pulisic, Aronson,
Reyna,
right? McKinney, if he's healthy. Like, no one can ping a better ball and put Jordan in a better position to succeed than those guys.
Yeah.
And so I think that as a coach, probably puts Jordan ahead of I think they both go.
Yeah, I think
they both go.
Going to 26 is huge.
Yes. Yeah. Tactically, the start of a game, I might play Paul, but in a World Cup, I'm 1-0 down. Maybe it's even 1-1, and we feel like we can go for it. We've had much of the ball and much of the play. I put Jordan on because he's going to win me corners. He's going to win me. He's going to be that runner that gets in behind when a mistake happens.
Yeah.
And I think for versatility, like Christian, why wouldn't he be on the
Christian
plane?
Has to go.
He can play any single position on the field. Put him at right back. Put him at left back.
He has to go. Yeah.
Play a 4-5-1 when you're
like
in the round of 16.
You can literally just stick him in.
I'm surprised he has to go. He has to go. Yeah. All right, Atlanta. Struggling a bit. We know Gonzo. They've only won 6 out of 22. Scored 29, conceded 33. They're firmly on the outside looking in. 12th in the East, 25 points, but only 4 points behind Charlotte, who's in 7th. So all is not lost for them. Massive, massive game for them. Gonzo, Coach Schmetz, the best coach in MLS. So I learned so much from him. We think highly of Gonzo. How do we see this game going? In years past, going to Atlanta was a nightmare.
I know.
Like, going against Almiron and Martinez, I mean.
I feel like we actually got pretty decent results, though.
They're not the same.
A lot of, like, 1-0.
Yeah, they've not been good for, I think, 3 years now.
Yeah, true.
I mean, this is their first home game since July 17th.
Yeah.
So that place is going to be rocking.
Yeah.
Gonzo's, I think, probably rebuilding a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think the Sounders have a good opportunity to go in there and look at previous performances and see what other teams have done. That's a good part about this season, about going to a place like Atlanta.
Yeah.
You can look at 20 games, right, or half of those, I guess, 10, 11 games that they've played at home, and say, what have teams done well to get a result there? And this will be a good test for the Sounders. Raul's going to play more.
Would you start him or no?
I don't think I start him there. Although he might have already said that he's starting.
He told me he's playing against Atlanta. I saw Raul in the car park after we played, not the game before, Colorado. I said, what's going on, man? He goes, I'm playing next week. And that was for LAFC. So he thought he should be playing back then. So,
So he's starting. Let's just leave it.
Yeah. He's starting.
And judging by his performance and his full sprinting capabilities in that game, I was happy to see that.
I was happy to see that.
So do the Sounders go in and play a 3-5-2 with wingbacks?
I don't know, man. I think I don't know that it suits this personnel, to be honest, man.
Yeah.
I think just no. I would like to see them play 4-2-3-1 and just play put as strong a team as possible for Schmetz, because they have time. You know, they played on Tuesday, sure, but you can't. It's not a point where you just rotate for the sake of rotating. I think we'll see Wolverine.
If not
Raul, I don't think it'll be Freddie. But yeah, I think for the Sounders, I mean, this is your next 5 games, 4 away. I mean, you have to win at least 1 or 2 of those and pick up a point somewhere. So this is one that you can win. I think this one and, this one, Galaxy Orlando, you can win all 3.
Yeah.
Portland's one you never know, because it's Portland, it's a derby, those games are crazy.
It's a road one,
so most likely we win.
Yeah, exactly. I think if Raul starts and they play a 4-2, I think the Sounders win. I think they win. I think Nico's getting back to his best. He's impressed me in recent weeks in terms of, I think Jordan's getting close. Christian's been in great form. Albert was better on Tuesday. The right has to be figured out, because Madranda hasn't hit the heights he hit last year. Chu's not the answer there at the moment.
I mean, Madranda played good against, he provided the assist.
Against the Rapids.
Yeah. A great assist, a great touch against.
He probably is the one that because he's, yeah, even if he's not at his best, he still gives you more. Yeah. He has quality. So
what I like about, I hate noon kickoffs here in Seattle, yeah. but as an away team, yeah. I like a noon kickoff. Yeah. You wake up, get the job done, and you get on the flight, and you're home by dinner time,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
You like just spoiling the party away from home.
Yeah.
It'll be a tough one. And then you have Salt Lake at home, which should be a win.
Should be.
After last year.
Should be.
Should be a win. So, yeah, yeah, tough schedule coming up, but I think an opportunity for the guys to either make a leap or squeeze into the playoffs.
Yeah, this is touching. I think the Sounders do make it. We'll see. We'll keep tracking it week by week. But this is probably the first year where there's like a real danger where like, ooh, will it happen? Will it not happen?
Why are we not tying games?
It's weird, yeah, we have like no draws.
Two
draws.
Is it a case of just not, just mental focus?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great one. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
That but, San Jose game still should have at least been a draw.
Oh my gosh, like so the San Jose upsetting. Game. Yeah.
San Jose, when it came back?
Yeah, before.
That was such an upsetting.
In between the Champions League games,
yeah.
It was also a horrible broadcast because we like weren't synced up for the first like, 5 minutes.
I remember now.
Yeah. It's like a bad foreign movie. Sorry,
oh,
everyone.
Man. Sound is key. What is the broadcast?
Big time.
We are on ABC. Big ABC.
Sounders
at Atlanta on ABC.
Yes, ABC at noon.
12 o'clock kickoff. It'll be on the radio.
Yes, 93.3.
93.3, Keith and Casey. Make sure you're tuning in. This will be good. So it's 12 o'clock here, right, for us?
Yes.
Yeah, it'll be good for us. Okay. Yes. Yeah, make sure everyone tunes in, locks in. Need a 3 points. Need a 3 points. And then we'll be back next week to preview the Real Salt Lake game and recap this one. Share more stories from the inside. That was good. I forgot about the Aussie story. That was he just walked off the pitch. It was. I don't blame him. I really don't blame him. So not for today. For another podcast.
All right. Keep listening. You'll hear more guys.
All right. This will be side by side. Stay tuned. We'll be back next week.